From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
No matter what kind of boat you have, it probably has wires. It might be a 12-volt battery hooked to a jigging machine, or it might be a complex electrical system. Either way, it's wires and electricity in a corrosive marine environment. To get a few tips, I sat down on the telephone with Art Schultz, owner and operator of Future Electric. He has just spent the last couple of months doing electrical work on boats, so I had to ask him. What are the most common things that you see that make you hit your forehead?
A lack of circuit protection. People somehow think that positive power is a go, and they ignore the fact that if the positive power goes wrong, the positive power burns very easily. The majority of boat fires worldwide are caused by electrical systems. You know, a lot of people like to just find a positive power source and daisy chain off of it. It's pretty ordinary in these do-it-yourself fishing installations. A simple fuse. You buy them in bulk, they're 9 cents a piece or something like that, and they'll save you tens of thousands of dollars. A simple fuse in the right place. Never skimp.
I've heard that wire nuts are just fine for boat wiring.
If I am on board a vessel and I see a wire nut, I pick it up and I throw it away. I don't ask.
Well, even if it's attached to a wire?
Oh yes. I'll cut it off and throw it away.
Okay, so what should people be using in lieu of wire nuts? What if you are in that position where I have to put two pieces of wire together? I have to do it right now. What should I be doing?
You should have a crimping tool and a couple of butt splices with you.
I don't know if I can put that on the radio.
Well, there are worse things you can splice. It's pretty common to carry a crimping tool and a couple of little splice connectors. This is not asking a lot of anybody. So the effort you put into getting the wire nut could just as easily be put into buying the correct part.
Okay, what's the most dangerous thing about boat electrical systems that no one knows about?
AC current going through fresh water is very dangerous to humans. It diffuses through salt water because salt water is so much more electrically conductive. But fresh water is not very conductive at all. And so as you swim by a boat that's improperly grounded, that AC power actually uses your body as a shorting path. So the boat that will have no problem at all living over in Dog Bay and plugged into shore power, when it goes to a freshwater river in the lower 48, goes into Lake Union or up the Aquina River, up above Newport, that boat can suddenly kill someone unaware in the water beside the boat.
And what would be wrong with this electrical system that would allow that? Just a bad...
Mixing the neutral and the ground inside the boat. Even though it seems like a good idea, it's not. In fact, that's the subtlety of it. The device will work just fine, whether you put the white or the green on the grounding bar, or if you put the green on the white bar, or whatever, whichever way you want to mix and match. And it all seems fine as you sit here, but it will kill that diver that gets under your boat in Oregon. This is actually a large problem in freshwater marinas anywhere. In freshwater lakes, if you want to go to Lake Chelan, you may face this problem. Pontoon boats in Arkansas, that sort of thing. That's right. Really a much greater electrical hazard than we're going to see here in our saltwater harbor.
I then asked him what products he prefers. This really set him off.
Deoxit D5. Deoxit is the brand. D5 is the stuff coming out of the can. It's an almost invisible coating that is extremely adhesive to exposed metal. Spray it on everything. It's 5% of this mystery red liquid that acts like a miracle cure for corrosion issues. Exposed wiring, exposed terminal strips, anything like that, fuse blocks, you can spray it on any electrical device. And it's quite spendy, and it's worth every penny. It's great stuff. You can't buy it in Kodiak, can't buy it in Bristol Bay, and I've been pushing against a brick wall to get people to stock it locally. Now, you want to know what you should never use on an electrical system? Absolutely stop using electrical tape. Half of my business is involved in things that are caused by electrical tape. Stop putting electrical tape on wires. Electrical tape actually causes corrosion.
But the name.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, electrical tape is not waterproof.
No.
And so water often gets trapped underneath a big wrap of electrical tape, and then it never dries out. There's actually more corrosion beneath well-wrapped electrical tape connections than there is without the electrical tape. I see this almost every time I climb in a boat. The other thing electrical tape is not, it is not petroleum resistant.
I've seen that.
And, in an engine room, it ends up being the nastiest, blackest, gunkiest mess. I mean, I've gone through a pint of Gojo before trying to fight with the stuff to get into something and then cleaning the black goo back off my hands. So why? It causes so many more problems than it solves. Just stop using it. The second thing I throw away right after I've thrown all the wire nuts away is I'll turn around and start throwing the rolls of black tape away. And it's been pointed out that they also use it on fishing gear. Okay.
Yes.
Use it on fishing gear. It's now fishing tape. It's no longer electrical tape. Start calling it fishing tape.
A lot of people use corrosion block. Is that good? What about WD-40? I use corrosion X.
All of those work at their main goal of covering up exposed pieces of metal. Where you go wrong is you apply them to the exposed pieces of metal, and then you put the two pieces of metal together. Like, for example, very small electrical connectors on engines or fine electronics. If there's a very small current and a low electrical potential, something like corrosion block can actually block some of those signals. You're much better off installing something and then spraying over the top of it so that you have a good solid metal-to-metal contact covered with a protective layer.
And then cover it with electrical tape.
If you insist. That will keep me in business.
Thank you, Art. That was Art Schultz, owner and operator of Future Electric, and so much more.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund. In recognition of the fishing industry, which provides more than 50,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source. Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska is well known for its halibut, cod, salmon, even kelp, destined for the dinner table. But there's one seafood product that may have been made for the CIA, one that you wouldn't want to consume, a lethal toxin used as an alternative to cyanide. Dylan Simard looks at a curious Cold War story that has surfaced about seafood poison and suicide needles.
In May of 1960, Francis Gary Powers' U-2 spy plane was shot down over the Soviet Union during a high-altitude reconnaissance mission. In his pocket was a modified silver dollar containing a hidden needle loaded with a lethal dose of shellfish toxin. The subject came up in a presentation this week at the Kodiak Area Marine Science Symposium. Patricia Tester, an oceanographer, told the gathering she might know where the poison, known as saxitoxin, came from. Tester says saxitoxin causes paralytic shellfish poisoning. Basically, it paralyzes the muscles by interfering with signals from the body and can stop respiration. Tester says she learned about saxitoxin experiments from a trove of documents found in Kodiak that revealed tests on mice in the 1950s involving shellfish toxins. The documents included a contract for clams and a shipping receipt to the U.S. Army's Biological Warfare Laboratories at Fort Detrick in Maryland.
In one of the files, there was a Department of Defense contract for toxic shellfish. And this is what led to the detective journey that brought us through the Cold War history. The contract was from the Department of Defense, and it was for toxic clams, written in October 6, 1952.
The contract was for $10,000 of toxic clams, closer to $100,000 today, to be shipped to the East Coast.
And the department worked with the CIA to actually develop a replacement for the cyanide poison pill that was provided to U.S. covert agents and spies during that time.
Now, some real Cold War enthusiasts might be thinking, wait a minute, didn't the United States destroy its stockpile of biological weapons under the order of President Nixon in 1969? That's correct on paper, but in practice, the CIA had interpreted that instruction quite liberally. During a 1975 Congressional Committee investigation, the CIA admitted it had kept a small stockpile of saxitoxin against Nixon's order, and further admitted that this was the same saxitoxin that Powers had carried during his flight over the USSR. Tester says it's actually possible to save someone who has acute saxitoxin poisoning by putting them on a respirator to give the toxin time to work its way out of the body. But the amount carried in Power's needle would likely be lethal within minutes. Now, to be clear, this document doesn't determine definitively that Powers carried saxitoxin from Alaska, but Tester says that her research indicates that that's still highly probable.
There could have been another order, either earlier or later than the one I found. There could have been orders for toxic clams off the East Coast, which happened, for the first time down in the Woods Hole area, in the Massachusetts area, about 1972. But that would have been, pretty late in the game for them to have been doing anything like that. So to say that I know that that is exactly the origin, no, I can't say that. But it seems likely.
Powers never used his suicide needle. He was captured after ejecting from his plane and ultimately returned to the United States in a prisoner exchange about 2 years after his plane was downed. There are no other known cases where saxitoxin was used by the CIA.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.